Innes works as a director of global health programs at Physicians for Peace. She received her master's degree in public health from the UNC Gillings School of Global Public Health and Maternal and Child Health, focusing on global health issues. She has experience in program planning, implementation, management, grant writing, and volunteer management. Innes has worked with several nonprofit organizations, both domestic and international, has strengthened her passion for empowering and building capacity among underserved populations. So now we will go from Chicago to the Philippines.
Great, thank you. So I'm going to be talking a little bit today about Physicians for Peace's program in the Philippines, where we are working on some vision care issues. I have nothing to disclose except for the fact that I'm not a vision care health professional, so I'm definitely learning a lot from all of you, but I am the program director that works closest with our Philippines partners. And just to briefly talk about Physicians for Peace, our work is really trying to train, support, and empower healthcare professionals working around the world with underserved populations. So a little bit about our model. We work with in-country partners. We have worked in about 65 countries to date, but each year we work in about 16 countries. And we work very closely with partners that have an identified need for training and education in one of the specialty areas of health that we work. So this is primarily disabilities, rehabilitation, some surgical work, and some maternal and child health curriculum training. We do this through utilizing international medical educators, which are our volunteers that are the subject matter experts, the healthcare professionals. Predominantly in the past, these have been based in the United States, but more and more we're utilizing international healthcare providers to provide the training and education both regionally and across the world. So our team in the Philippines, this is an affiliate organization of Physicians for Peace, and they have been active there for 15 years. It's really driven by our volunteer base there of Filipino volunteers of different disciplines across the healthcare spectrum. And while we provided a great deal of training and education in about the first 8 to 10 years of our relationship, now they have really come together to have a group of champion volunteers that are now reaching much further out from the city centers and have a greater focus on outreach across the over 7,000 islands that make up the Philippines. So there are a number of challenges to vision care that are certainly not unique to the Philippines, but I will just highlight what some of those are that we have learned over our time working there. The data is a challenge, gathering the appropriate data, but this is prevalence data from a study that was the National Survey on Blindness that was conducted in 2005, just to give you an idea of some of those numbers for visual impairments that were found. As I mentioned, the Philippines is a country made up of over 7,100 islands, and so that's really the biggest challenge that we have found is access to care in some of these far-flung areas that are not near city centers and urban centers. So there is certainly not a shortage of optometrists and other vision care professionals in the Philippines, but they are very much based in Manila and the other city centers and are not as eager to go out into the far-reaching areas. And there are pockets and areas within the country of severe under-resourced and intense poverty areas. So that's an ongoing challenge. And one of the areas that we focus in is pediatrics and trying to reach children that have not had access to vision care before. And so we really have found that there are just great challenges within both the healthcare sector and the school sector in terms of being able to provide those services in a more concentrated way. Just want to mention some of the partnerships because we couldn't do anything that we do without a lot of collaboration and partnerships. So in the Philippines, we work closely with the Department of Education to help us identify the schools that would be best to work with for our vision screening programs. We also work closely with the National Committee for Sight Preservation in order to continue to be aligned with the national priorities and processes. Rotary International has been a supporter of ours in the Philippines there locally, a number of Rotary clubs. And then just this year, we received a sub-award through the Advancing Partners in Communities program that was funded through USAID than JSI. So that has helped us to kind of catapult some of our programming to a broader level. So we have three areas that we focus in, elementary school training, screening and refractions that I mentioned, then community-based screenings, which are really more adult-focused and are in areas far outside of city centers where for 2 to 3 days we bring a team of volunteer Filipino optometrists to provide those screenings and refraction there, and then 2 to 3 weeks later, anyone that was screened there will receive their prescription eyeglasses. And we also have satellite clinics that our team there has been very active in setting up. These are usually based within other clinical settings, and so it could just be a small room or some kind of designated space that has become available for the vision care program. And these are only open when the volunteer optometrists are able to be there, but it's a set schedule. So, for instance, we have one that's open every Friday all day. We have another that's open only on Saturdays and Sundays. But it just depends on the availability of our volunteer optometrists that also have full-time jobs. So this is a kind of layout of where each of these programs occurs, and this is just data from 2013. And just to kind of zoom in, on the Manila area, you can see that a lot of focus has been in and around Metro Manila because of these areas of intense poverty that I mentioned before. And even though this population is within physical reach of services and optometrists, they are still not receiving the care due to other barriers such as financial and a lot of perception that they wouldn't be able to afford visual services even if they were to reach those clinics. Just to briefly touch on a little bit of our data to date, for this is all of 2012 and then the first 9 months or so of 2013. These hands-on training participants are primarily our teachers that we work with in the elementary schools and other school professionals that receive the training for screening and how to do basic visual screening and recognize signs and symptoms of potential visual impairments. The lecture participants include those as well, but then also includes a larger catchment of community health workers, especially in the barangays and the different rural settings where we work. And these are basic lectures about visual health and ways to recognize potential challenges. And then 4,500 people have received treatment over the last year and a half. So I want to focus a little bit now on our elementary school screening and refraction, because this is an area that through this additional funding through the subaward has been able to grow in recent months, really. And so this is a program that the team in the Philippines feels very passionate about, because this is where they feel like they can reach students and children who are completely out of the visual healthcare system and really need services. So the idea is to go to a school that is deemed appropriate by the Department of Education. So typically these are very under-resourced schools, and to hold a training for the teachers there in, again, basic visual health and how they can screen their patients or their students before our optometrist team comes. Then the optometrist team, which is made up of completely Filipino optometrists, come and provide some basic exams there at the school and refractions. And then if a student needs eyeglasses, they're then kind of moving through the various stations and go to select their frames. And these are all donated eyeglass frames through their U.S. companies that have donated frames to Physicians for Peace. And then we ship those to the Philippines. Then the lenses are sourced by optometrists through their own manufacturers, and these are about 250 pesos each, which is about $6 US. And then the dispensing of the eyeglasses happens 2 to 3 weeks later back at the schools. And we're trying to more and more incorporate parents into this process, both coming to the screening days and the dispensing days. That's a continued challenge, especially when they happen during the day. And so we're trying to work more on finding ways to reach parents, especially reach illiterate parents, where sending home brochures and information is really not helpful. So we're continuing to work on that area, and that's certainly something we want to focus on certainly still have the issues of losing, breaking glasses, and so that's an ongoing challenge that we are facing as well. So definitely a lot of similarities with the U.S. So just to give you a very brief glance at some of the school-level data that we have collected thus far, and this is very much in the preliminary stages. This is data just from August, September, and October so far. And just my main point here in showing this is that there is a lot of variance across every school. Every school is different. Every school has presented its own unique challenges. So to focus on school B here, the blue column is the number of children that received prescriptions for glasses. So you can see that that is an extremely high number, and those that did not need a referral is extremely low. Well, by collecting some qualitative data later on, we figured out that it was because these teachers had already been screened, had been taught to screen and had already screened those students, and so really were being much more efficient in only sending those that they identified as needing screening. But we didn't know that before going into it, so that was a good lesson learned, and that was great. It really helped the process. You'll see school C is a little more typical, where there are higher numbers that do not need a referral and do not receive a prescription for glasses. But then you'll also see the purple column is the missing data. So over 20 students ended up with missing data of only, 150 or so that were screened. So this just speaks to the challenges of doing these kind of screenings and refractions in a school setting, because it can be disruptive to the school day if there's not correct communication between us planning the event and the school saying, yes, this is a good day to come. Actually, no, that's a terrible day to come. We have a lot going on, those kinds of things. So these are children that began the screening process and were screened by their teacher, but then were lost somewhere along the continuum and never ended up reaching the point where they received, were able to choose their glasses and then therefore did not receive them. So then it's a process of going back to the school and trying to figure out who those students are, where they are, how we can provide those services. So again, just good lessons learned. And school E, again, had a very high rate that needed glasses. This is actually a school in Metro Manila, and it was just incredibly under-resourced and had a high number of children that had never seen any kind of vision care professional or been screened before in their lives. And so you also see a little green line at the bottom, which is just referrals for other treatment. So this could be both infections or other issues where it was not appropriate to treat those in the school setting, but they needed other services. So just to touch on some of the successes and challenges and lessons learned, as I mentioned, this is a process where we learn something new every day, but we're continuing to try to refine things and see how we can best meet the needs that we're trying to address. So as I mentioned, every school has a completely different set of unique characteristics, and we really learn how essential it is to be adaptable to those and to come together as a group, both the optometrists, the data collectors, and us as the program planners, to try to figure out how to best address those. So little things like the prescriptions being lost between station A and station B because the student's running off to get a snack and then coming back and realizing they left their prescription form at the snack booth. So little things like that that we've now gotten the optometrist and created a, carbon copies for the prescriptions when before it was just little pieces of paper everywhere. So small, minor adjustments that have made very large differences. The volunteer dedication of these optometrists is unbelievable and inspiring to me, but it truly has been an essential part of this model. We could not do it without them, especially on the amount of money that we have been able to allocate to this program. So they're a huge piece of the puzzle and have made the work go so much further. We've also seen that a lot of teachers are very eager to be screened and to receive visual services, which certainly makes sense. They need to be able to see well to both do their job and to do the screenings that we're asking them to do. But this is an interesting challenge for us because a lot of our restricted funding is for only pediatric, but at the same time, there you are teaching the teachers about signs and symptoms, and of course they're saying, well, I have that too, and could you screen me? So we in the past have done some teacher screenings and have just asked that they try to kind of subsidize the cost for the lenses, which, as I mentioned, is about $6 for a set of lenses. But we're continuing to look at that as a potential way to further integrate the program and serve more. We also would like to figure out ways to conduct the teacher training at a different setting so that the teachers don't feel like they're watching their kids out of one eye and then they're trying to focus on the training out of another eye. So we're working with the Department of Education to see if there are ways that we could almost provide like an in-service to teachers at some of their larger meetings, either before the school year starts or as the school year is continuing. And there's some good potential there so that we can have a more concentrated and focused time with the teachers. Then they could return to the school, do the initial screenings, and then the optometrist would have a follow-up visit later on. We're also working on trying to develop the best follow-up mechanisms. Right now, we're primarily concerned with measuring compliance and understanding the barriers to wearing the glasses. Fortunately, Filipino culture is pretty open and accepting to eyeglasses, which is something that has been very advantageous for this program. We've done some work in visual care in Haiti in the past, and that has been a tremendous barrier. Nobody wants to wear their glasses, so they get them and immediately go in their pocket and are broken on the, you know, ride home. So a lot of acceptance as a culture has been, you know, very important to the success of that program as well. So I think that's all. But I thank you very much and look forward to further discussion and questions. Thanks.